Welcome to the Cloud Accounting Podcast, a show for accountants and bookkeepers using cloud technology to make their jobs more strategic and impactful. I'm Blake Oliver.
And I'm David Leary.
What is new in the world of cloud accounting technology?
So one thing's new this week, the CPA Practice Advisor announced their 40 under 40 for 2018. That just came out on August 26th. I know I've been on the list once when I was like 39. You were on it a couple times, right?
You're not old enough to even be on that list, are you? Or wait, no, there's no minimum. It's just,
I'm itching for the 50 under 50 now. That's what I'm reaching for.
Yeah, so I was a 40 under 40 in 2016 and 2017. And actually, I'm happy to report that this year, the CEO of Flowcast, where I work, Mike Whitmire, he is on the 20 under 40, which is the accompanying list for folks who are not in public accounting, but on the vendor space. So we're very happy for him and for Flowcast for getting that recognition.
Yeah, what I like about this list always, because it's like almost always half the list are people you either know or you're friends with. We've had some of these people on the podcast, actually. I think, I don't know if we put the interview out there yet, but like Sean Stein Smith's on the list.
Yep. Still working on that one. No, wait, did we do that? We did that one. I think he's the only guy that we've interviewed, but this is great because now we have a list of people
now
to go after.
A list of who to go interview. Yeah, that's true. That's
exactly
true. But it's always cool because like you see this and you consider a lot of these people as friends, which and you're connected to them social. So it's really, it's just exciting. It's a good celebration to see this. Yeah. So I recommend everybody go and click on the, we'll give the link, but you can click on each person and then each person provides kind of a little bio, which is cool. And then, you know, they tell about kind of what drove them into the profession, kind of who their mentors are. It's a good way to learn about other people in the profession that are really changing it for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. And what I like about it too is you go into those bios, those interviews, and so many people are talking about technology being a driving force of change.
Do you have any articles this week?
Yes, I do. This is by Jason Andrew. He's the co-founder of SmartBooks Online, an Australian firm. He posted this on Medium. It's called Accounting Partners Are Just Franchisees. You can tell from the title that he's not exactly the biggest fan of accounting partnerships. And I think he basically goes through and he looks at the attributes of what it's like to work as a partner in an accounting firm. And then he talks about what it's like to own a franchise. And honestly, they're kind of similar, right? I'll go through the list here. So he says, for instance, characteristics of a franchisee, characteristics of an accounting firm partnership. Be your own boss. Buy into a system that works. We take care of all the boring business stuff like marketing, admin, finance, and HR. Be part of a bigger movement. We're different from everyone else. Don't worry about the buy-in. We can vendor finance it. That sort of thing. Of course, you know, the two columns, the franchisee and the partnership, have exactly the same answers, right? Breaking it down. And so his ultimate takeaway is that the question is it good to, as an accountant, want to be in a partnership these days? And he says that if you're a technician, if you love the work that you do and you just want to do that work and do it under an established brand and not have to worry about any of those business type things like marketing and whatnot, then go be a partner. That's perfect for you. But if you're desirous to build a business, to build something that's bigger than yourself, then your goal should be not to become a partner in an established accounting firm, but go off and build your own firm and do something for yourself and not subscribe to somebody else's agenda.
It was interesting about this. He really talks about his own personal experience in this journey, right? Like he was all in. He's like, I'm going to work my way. I'm going to become a partner and all the glorious benefits that come with that. But he kind of stepped back and he's like, he gets to actually be an accountant and have his own business. They don't even refer to each other as partners in his business, right? Because they're actually owners of the business, you know, not partners.
And to bring this back to tech, right? The thing that I experienced and a lot of young accountants are experiencing is that it's getting easier and easier to start your own accounting firm because now all you need is a laptop and an internet connection. It used to be you had to rent an office. You had to have a receptionist. You had all this overhead that required buying into a partnership or at least banding together with others to do it. Now, I mean, you can be your own guy and you can be out in the middle of nowhere and you can be serving clients pretty much from anywhere if you know what you're doing.
And even reaching those clients now, which pre-cloud, like even marketing those clients was difficult. right? But now you can, if you just want to only do comic book stores, you can only do comic book stores, and you can survive as an accountant or bookkeeping. You can have your firm that does that. So yeah, I think, I mean, we talk about this every week, but the technology stack that we're now living in really enables this kind of thought process. People can break free if they don't want. If it's not for them, like, you can break free and do something else.
And actually, I have a great story that illustrates this point from Ryan Lozanis. He posted a blog post based on his vacation. He just took a vacation recently to Indonesia, and he was staying on a remote island. And he met a CPA there who, this is an island that doesn't even have electricity or internet. And this guy is a CPA. He's out on this island, and he provides accounting services by tethering his laptop to his phone and getting internet that way. And he works remotely with people in Australia to do their taxes. And he does their accounting online.
He wins. He's winning life.
Yeah, and there's some great pictures in this article of this guy, George, the CPA, sitting in his bungalow with a beautiful view of the beach and the ocean in his Hawaiian shirt.
That's amazing, amazing, yeah. Amazing. I really wish I was on the beach right now. I mean, I joked with my wife, I'm semi-retired after the news last week, and like, I had this grandiose plan of playing Madden every day this week, you know, hours and hours. I literally have about 8 minutes of Madden game time slot that I've played in 6 days of retirement, early retirement, mid-retirement, whatever you want to call this little break I'm taking. But yeah, hopefully we'll see how that goes in the future a little bit more.
Yeah,
I have an article here that's not as exciting. It's actually kind of boring and highly technical, but I think it really aligns well with our audience. FASB simplifies the accounting for cloud computing service costs. So that sentence is complicated on its own, but they really get in, and I'll read this one paragraph, and I think it kind of can paint a picture of how complicated this is, but everybody should understand that it exists. So here you go. I'll read it literally word for word. The standard aligns the requirements for capitalizing implementation cost incurred in a hosting arrangement that is a service contract with the requirements for capitalizing implementation cost incurred to develop or obtain internal use software, parentheses, and hosting arrangements that include an internal use software license, close parentheses. So Blake, can you define this? What is this change?
What this signifies to me is that the Journal of Accountancy was not particularly helpful in breaking down this standard for us. And I just don't understand why. It sounds like they copied it from the, you know, the FASB guidance. And I don't understand, why can't the FASB write things in normal human sentences in speech, that like in plain language, in plain English? Like, it doesn't have to be this way.
The funny part of this is the simplified version.
What?
This is the FASB simplifies the accounting for this. This is the simplified text, apparently.
Oh, no, well, this is the simplified guidance or the standard, but I guess, you know, the way they write it. So basically, the way that you capitalize implementation costs for internal use software, now you're going to do the exact same thing when you capitalize implementation costs for something that is being hosted. That you are not developing yourself. So,
got it.
I guess that makes more sense.
What else do you got this week?
All right. In the world of cryptocurrency and blockchain and Bitcoin, here's a story about how it actually might start affecting us in our day-to-day lives in not too long. Square has won a patent for adding cryptocurrency features to its point-of-sale technology. According to this patent that was filed, the technology will allow merchants to accept virtual currencies, including cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin, Ether, that sort of thing, using their traditional payment system. And so Square is going to, on the back end, facilitate that exchange. So if I want to pay in Bitcoin, I can go up to that Square terminal. And for those who may not be familiar, Square is the dominant small business point of sale credit card terminal thing going on right now. They're getting huge, right? So you go into like your local coffee shop, small one, a one location shop, they're probably going to be using Square. So up till now, you could just pay with credit card using Square. So the idea is you could actually pay with your Bitcoin wallet or your other type of cryptocurrency, and Square's technology will take those funds and will on the fly convert that into currency that the merchant can accept.
Back in the fiat. So me as the merchant, I now can accept Bitcoin I don't have any of the headaches associated with accepting Bitcoin.
Right.
Because when at the end of the day, when I do my Z reading out of my point of sale system, it's just cash.
Yeah.
I just have USD if that's the case. Yeah. And I just handle everything the same, even though there was a Bitcoin transaction that occurred.
Yeah.
That actually is probably the best way for this to have major adoption. It'll be interesting to see is that just out of the box, or is that something people have to add as a preference inside of Square?
So,
right? We're going to still, I go to the coffee shop, there'll be a sign now taking Bitcoin.
Probably. And I mean, if I were Square, the way I would do this is I would just add it as a new feature and say, by default, people are now going to be able to pay you with cryptocurrency. It's not going to look any different for you, right? Because we're still converting them into US dollars. Like, to you, it's exactly the same, right? You're getting exactly the same amount of US currency you would have got if they'd pay with a credit card. So if Square does it that way, then yeah, I mean, immediately millions and millions of businesses will now accept cryptocurrency. Now, one of the problems with cryptocurrency, with Bitcoin in particular, is the speed of the network. It's actually very, very slow and expensive to pay somebody with Bitcoin just because of the way the network was set up. It wasn't designed to handle thousands of transactions per second that you get in a credit card processing environment. So the reason Square's patent is important is that now they're adding a private blockchain in between the public blockchain. So my Bitcoin's on a public blockchain, and when I pay, it involves now the Square private blockchain, and Square, to speed up the transaction, is going to front the money to the merchant, and then we'll process the transaction later on the public blockchain. So they're going to take on the risk.
Yeah, so Square, in a way, is becoming a Bitcoin exchange of their own.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be their own Bitcoin exchange. Now, is it just going to be Bitcoin, or are they going to do any type of currencies? Is it
clear
on that?
The patent is general use, so they could theoretically accept every type of cryptocurrency. I imagine they'll probably only do the bigger ones. But yeah, the idea being that this could really make the consumer use of cryptocurrency a thing. Like, I would carry around funds in my wallet if I could pay that way, perhaps, especially if merchants would give me discounts, right? Because if they're not paying the credit card processing fee, maybe I get a small discount for using cryptocurrency because it's going to cost less. Depends whatever Square charges, right? But I mean, I could see them definitely charging, like 1% instead of the 2 or 3% that the credit card companies charge. Yeah, because you're eliminating one of the middlemen.
Yeah, I think this would be interesting to watch. I think yes, everybody has Square, people are paying. I still feel like mobile payments, the people that are winning right now is Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like, if you sit at Starbucks, it's amazing how many people pay for the coffee using their phone. Like, they've completely eliminated the card swipe almost.
Yeah.
At a very high percentage. And so it'll be interesting. Like, I think that's when this really tips. It's nice that Square's out there. Lots of small businesses use Square. But when you walk into Starbucks and Starbucks says, hey, you can pay with Bitcoin, or you go to Walmart, you can pay with Bitcoin. I think that's when we know we've tipped. Or when I finally go to Amazon, I can pay with Bitcoin. That's when we finally, have hit a new. But it's marching that way. It's very obvious.
Oh,
it's coming.
Hey, David, I just realized that we're coming up at the end of our time for this show, and we've got Scott Horn waiting to talk to us. So we'd better jump off and get on to that recording session.
Okay, perfect. Let's wrap it up then. What's the best way to get a hold of you if anybody needs to?
Tweet at me. I'm at Blake T. Oliver.
Got it. And you can tweet at me. I'm at David Leary. And you can track both of us down on LinkedIn as well.
All right. Thanks, David. Talk to you soon.
All right. Later. Bye, Blake.
So, David, I have a crazy story. I was woken up at 5:45 a.m. this morning to the sound of what sounded to me like explosions in my backyard.
That seems kind of close.
Yeah, no, it was. It felt like it was in my backyard, and I thought maybe there had been like a gas explosion in the house near me, or something. I mean, it was like I've never even heard of fireworks that loud.
But a gas explosion could be a viable concern, because didn't you guys have an earthquake yesterday or the day before?
Exactly. So it's possible. That's what I'm always thinking.
Yeah.
It turned out, I went out, I got up, I looked online to see if anything was going on. I couldn't find anything. So I went outside to walk the dog, and I get outside, and there are 20, must have been 20 cop cars and unmarked police cars, several dozen plainclothes police officers just hanging around our block. So one of them came over and filled me in. They couldn't tell me much, but apparently the FBI raided my neighbor's house this morning. Like the guy who lives on the other side of the fence in my backyard.
Wow.
And, yeah, his name's Rob, and he's accused of making threats against the Boston Globe, like death threats.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't have anything that exciting.
So
nothing.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, if I'm a little amped up this morning on the podcast, that is why. Not something I would have expected from him, but yeah, it's all over the national news, and it's a big deal here. So,
I'll have to flip on the mainstream media here and try to track that down a little bit.
Yeah,
and see.
Yeah,
and be like, look, that's Blake's house.
So there have been reporters all over the place. There are helicopters. If you hear any sounds in the background, like helicopter sounds, that's what that is. Probably it's the.
Can you go outside wearing a shirt that says Cloud Accounting Podcast?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't. I haven't had those made yet. So,
We've tried. I don't know. Maybe in my ridiculous downtime now, I could take time to hand make some shirts or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, so I'm a little bit flustered. But let's get down to this. I'm looking forward to getting back to my regular life.